We live in a day and age in the church anymore where they never preach about Satan. They never preach about the rapture. They never preach about salvation. You know, in the last days, not only is it perilous times in the world, but it's perilous times in many churches today because they're just not preaching the word. The sermon title today is titled The Adversary. Satan is our adversary. I've needed to preach this sermon for a long time, but I've held off and I've held off. And I've held off because I never, ever want to give him any attention or any focus other than defeat. That's the only attention and that's the only focus that I want for him. I look at him much today like I do a serial killer or a mass murderer. They deserve no attention. They deserve no limelight. That person who killed all those little bitty kids in Uvalde, Texas, should get no TV coverage. There should be no media coverage. And I would be willing to go down to Uvalde, Texas, and preach his very last sermon that he ever heard and beg for him to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, give him the last opportunity. And I can tell you, this is one pastor that would be willing to pull the lever after I preach that message. Terrible things that we do in society, that we do to one another because of what the adversary is leading people to do and causing people to do and following after him. Let me make it clear before we even get started in this message, because it's kind of a teaching message, that Satan has no power over you, that through Christ you have the power over him, and you need to take that authority over him. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says this: resist the devil and he will flee from you. In Mark chapter 16, turn with me to Mark chapter 16 just for a moment today. Some of the scriptures I've listed and I give them to Jonathan, and he's going to try to put some of them up as we go. I just listed the main ones and not all of them, because I always give so much scripture out. But this in Mark chapter 16, it's a scripture that you're very familiar with in this church because it deals with the Great Commission. In dealing with the Great Commission, he says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Why? Because he condemns himself, not because he's condemned by God. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out what? They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But verse 17 says, in my name, in the name of Jesus, we cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over the adversary. Because when Jesus defeated him at the cross, it was a victory for us, because we're not only heirs, but we are co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seated today in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus. He does not have authority over us, but we, as saints of God today, you have the authority over him. In John 8 and chapter 44, it says that Satan is a liar and that he is a father of all lies. He did not stay in truth, and now there is no truth that is in him. Do not believe his lies. Do not allow him to beat you up. Take authority over him in all things. I'm going to change this sermon a little bit today, and maybe there'll be a part two next week. I don't know, but I feel that I wrote these other notes, and I thought, well, Lord, I'm just going to write these down, Lord, and I'm just going to ask you which direction you want us to go in, and that's the direction we're going to go today. So this is a little different, and Jonathan's not going to have this scripture, but I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16, we go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the evil from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. And then Peter took him aside. Listen to this. Peter had the greatest intentions for the Lord Jesus. He loved Jesus. He did not want anything to happen to Jesus. But look what he says. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things, but the things of men." Get behind me, Satan. Where was Peter walking in? Was Peter walking in an evil spirit? And the answer is no. Peter was walking in the flesh because he did not want anything to happen to his Lord and Savior. And because he didn't want anything to happen to him, he said, "No, that's not going to happen." And Jesus rebuked him. In many churches today, and I don't know, understand this, brother and sister, why these churches get into this habit, but they want to start naming a spirit on everything. Well, this is that spirit. This is this spirit. This is this spirit over here. We don't play with spirits. We don't entertain spirits. The darkness and the powers of darkness is in the world. We as Christians, we take authority over them and we bind them in the name of Jesus. I don't have to say, "Well, I don't know what we're dealing with here. I think it's this kind of spirit." I don't have to say that. I just say, "Be gone in the name of Jesus. Don't bother us anymore. Don't come in this place. You're not allowed here anymore because of the Spirit of God that is in it." A Christian cannot have the Spirit of God in them and have a spirit of evil at the same time. You get it? You can't put both those things in the same vessel. So we want to turn to that scripture. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 21. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21, in verse 21, it says, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace." We're talking about the adversary. "But when a stronger than he comes along and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted, and he divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, for he does not gather with me, scatters." The Lord Jesus is the one that is the supreme authority in this situation. He is the stronger man. But listen to verse 24. "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. Finding none, he says, 'I will return to the house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first." So what am I getting at today? If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life is not swept and garnished. It's for those that do not know Jesus, those who have not accepted the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they run the opportunity, or the opportunity is there, to be overcome by an evil spirit. Now, typically we do not see that. What we see in our world that we live in today is people that are led by the flesh. And we need to be more concerned about walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh than we need to be concerned with evil spirits. We have the power over evil spirits. We bind them in the name of Jesus. I know that over this area of this community, that I know that there was some evil resident that was taking up office in this area, a power and a principality. We as church members come against that power and that principality. Dennis said this church will be a lighthouse. It will be a beacon that is sending out the light into a world of darkness. Carol was told by the Holy Spirit that we were piercing the darkness. And then the Holy Spirit told her that we were breaking through. We broke through that power. We're not going to allow it back in this residency of this area. area, because this place is not swished and garnished anymore. It is full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you are full of that Holy Spirit, you never have to worry about somebody come up and saying, well, I think you got this spirit. I think you got that spirit. You should turn to them and say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan, because you're walking in the flesh. You're not walking in the spirit. We walk in the spirit. We trust in the spirit. We trust in the living God. We don't have to worry about the powers of darkness because we have authority over it. You have authority over that. There's people in this church that's been beat up. You've been beat up and you've been hurt. And the Lord Jesus is saying to you today, you're okay. Because the church is hurting with you because of what you have gone through by other Christians. God wants to heal you of that. He wants to restore you because our God is a God of healing and restoration. You're a child of God. Say that with me. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I have been born again. You can take authority over the adversary. You no longer have to say, well, he's beating me up. He's beating me up. Take authority over that. Every one of us can do it. Satan, his names, his adversary, the devil, the false accuser, the slanderer, the wicked one, the accuser of brethren, the god of this age, the tempter, he was an angel and he was created by God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We're back on track, Jonathan. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll get better next week, but I appreciate all of Jonathan's help. Isaiah 14. In Isaiah 14, you go down to verse 12. Now, this is where we're going to get into the teaching of who he is. This shows the fall of Lucifer. His name, he was an angel created in heaven, and when he was in heaven, he was known as Lucifer. And it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you are weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, now listen, you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the further sides of north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like what? The Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lower depths of the pit. The angel Lucifer, meaning morning star, cast out of heaven, would be known as Satan. His sin was pride and self-will. Pride and self-will. The beginning of sin was birthed in Satan. Verse 13 and 14, I will be like God. In this passage of Scripture, we see that there is a double meaning, and I want to bring this out. There was a wicked king of Babylon that was a type of Satan, it is also referring to both of them, but it's referring to Satan. We see the same thing in the book of Ezekiel. And if you go with me to Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 28, go over a couple books. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Verse 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, make up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are a seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Satan reveals himself as an angel of light. He's beautiful. He's not a horn, got horns and got a forked tail. He's a beautiful creature to look upon. For when you were in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. He was a beautiful singer. There's those of them in the world that say that he led choir in heaven. Now, I won't support that necessarily, and I won't deny that necessarily, because this is all that we know at this point in time. But we know that music has a tremendous effect on people's lives. I've seen young kids start listening to the wrong music every day for hours on end and go a very dark place. So music has an impact, just like it does in our worship services when we worship together. That's why it's very important, as we develop a worship team down the road, they need to be the most spiritual people you have in your church, because you're putting your congregation into their hands to lead them in the music and the worship and the praise. It says, you are the anointed cherub who covers. I will establish you. You were the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfected in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Iniquity was found in him, and he was cast to the ground. We won't go to another scripture, but in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20, it talks about, we see the reference to Satan being cast out. Jesus saw his defeat. In Revelation chapter 12, if you go there with me this morning, I'll try to move rapidly. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, everything happens very fast in Revelation chapter 12, and I want to bring that to your attention. In Revelation chapter 12, this chapter gives us a very quick overview. Verse 1 and 2 of Revelation 12. Now a great sign appeared to heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And we're talking about the nation of Israel. In verse 2, then being with child, who is the child? The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, would be birthed out of the nation of Israel. She cried out in labor and pain to give birth. The nation of Israel, through this nation, would be the birth of the Messiah. Verse 3 and 4, I believe, as we read this, and another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, his name is Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diamonds on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars, a third of the angels out of heaven with him, and threw them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, devour the child as soon as it was born. Was Jesus tried to be eliminated when he was born? Yes, he was. Every toddler of toddler age to newborns were slaughtered. So the scripture was fulfilled. It refers to Satan being cast out of heaven, and he took one third of the angels with him. And then very quickly in verse 5, we see the birth of the Messiah, and we see his ascension into heaven. In verse 6, then it moves directly into the tribulation. In verse 6, it says, then the woman fled into the wilderness where she was placed, prepared by God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days. A half of the tribulation. Today we know, as we read in Job, that Satan has a limited access to the throne because he is the accuser. We won't go there for time, but you know as well as I do, in the book of Job, God asked the adversary, where have you been? He says, I've been walking to and fro this earth, and he's been walking to and fro ever since. You remember when Peter, when the Lord Jesus told him that Satan wants to sift you like wheat? And so there's some people that's been going through that sifting in this church. But you're going to get through it, and you're going to be stronger when you get to the other side of it. because the Lord is taking all that dross out of your life and he's purifying you just like he does everybody else as we go through those things. As we go through those things in our life, he purifies us. He draws us closer into our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Don't get discouraged. Know that God works things all out together for good for those that love him. And he's doing that in your very life. Halfway through the tribulation, in Revelation 12, we see that it changes. Right now, he's walking to and fro this earth, but he still has a partial access to heaven. We know that the angels at least had enough free moral choice that they chose to follow Lucifer out of heaven when they fell. But in verse 7, and war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Listen to verse 9. So that the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Why is Satan cast out forever from the presence of God, never to go back? Because of the abomination of desolation. That's when he raises the Antichrist up into the temple in Jerusalem, and the Antichrist desires to be worshipped as a god. That is the abomination of desolation. When that happens, Satan is cast out to the earth for heaven, and that's why you hear the last 3.5 years of tribulation being a great tribulation, as never before. He goes on to say that if he did not do something to change it, there would not be any life that would be spared on this earth. Verse 21 talks about the great tribulation. And that would be in Matthew chapter 24. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation. So if Satan knows he is defeated, let me ask you. If Satan knows that he's defeated, and he does know he's defeated, he reads the end of the book just like you do. Why doesn't he quit? Why doesn't he quit plaguing the saints? Satan is the poster child of narcissism. You see narcissism in this earth. You've seen ministers that have had narcissism. You see politicians that have narcissism. It doesn't matter what you tell them. They're going to do what they want when they want to do it, and there ain't going to be no change in their mind. You can tell them it's black, and you can tell them it's black all day, and they still believe it's white. And Satan is the poster child for this. In Greek mythology, Narcissus saw his reflection in a pool, so enthralled with his own reflection, he would not leave it, and he starved to death looking at his own reflection. You know a politician's of that way? Satan can only, and I mean only, see himself. He will not accept defeat until it happens. Why all this information? So you have an overview of Satan and an understanding, but also a look at Matthew chapter 24. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. We referred to it earlier. I might go to another scripture there. Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 4. Matthew 24, verse 4. Verse 4 says this. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. In the last days before the rapture of the church, there will be a lot of religious deception. There is more religious deception today than I have ever seen in my life. You've got churches that have foundational roots that go all the way back for many, many years, that are good foundational teaching churches that have walked away from their foundation. They don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe in the tribulation. They don't believe in Satan. They don't believe he's real. there's going to be a lot more religious deception as we go forward. Churches that do not believe in Satan, the tribulation, the rapture, acceptance of things that we were never thought in our whole entire life that we would ever think it was possible. You deserve the truth. We have only one weapon, and there's only one weapon that's needed, and that's the Word of God. Jesus defeated the adversary in the temptation in the wilderness. How? With the Word of God. When you go to Ephesians 6 and it talks about putting on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith, there's only one offensive weapon in that whole listing that you're going to look at. And that one offensive weapon is the Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the powers of darkness. Saints, you need to be walking in the Word. Not what necessarily what somebody tells you or attacks you with. Anybody can be a vessel for the adversary. Peter was a vessel for the adversary. There's many people that have come to you over the last few weeks, for some of you in this congregation, that have been vessels for the adversary, and the Lord is speaking to you today that He loves you and His Son died for you. And He sees what you have gone through. Let us pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for Your anointing. We thank You, Father, for Your presence of Your Word in this place. We know that, Father, there's people that's been beat up, they've been kicked aside. They're no even longer welcome in so many places. But Father, we're going to love them. We're going to nurture them. We're going to care for them because You are a God of healing. You are a God of restoration. And we're going to pray and we're going to pray and we're going to believe until they are restored in the precious name of Jesus. We thank You for that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we just pray over this congregation that You would bless us, You would keep us, we would always walk in this place and feel the anointing of Your Spirit that would draw us back Sunday after Sunday after Sunday as we grow in grace and we grow in faith. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.